Morning, everyone.
Okay.
Before I start, could we have a word of prayer? Dear Lord, sometimes we think we are strong, but yet we are weak. But you know that our weaknesses, but you are willing to walk with us along the way. I give thanks to you. Because you allow me to know about my weaknesses and know the importance of relying on you. God, please have mercy and love on each one of us, and may we have a humble heart to follow you closely. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I believe it is the grace of God who brings me here. Pacific Grace MB Church, and it's my honor to share with you how God transformed my life in his amazing way. I'm sure this is a very familiar verses to most of you, but today I'm not going in depth about what this is about, because my main goal of today is to show the amazing deeds of God in my life. I have a family of four, now turns to five. My father and my mother living in Vancouver with me, and my elder brother is currently working in Hong Kong. And who's the fifth member? The fifth member is my sister-in-law. She's also working in Hong Kong right now. Other than these five members, I have two more, and those are the most precious one in my life. I have two godchildren. One just turns nine, the other turns six in this summer. Yeah, and I always felt I don't give enough quality time to them. Yeah, due to my schedule. Let me introduce my elder brother. He was the first Christian in my family. And he was also the first person to share the gospel with me. Although I did not accept that at the moment, but I really want to give thanks to God and give credit to him that he placed the seed of gospel in my heart. The seed bore fruit during my study in the United States, and I got baptized there. After coming back to Vancouver, things went very well, and I enjoyed my life with family and friends and brothers and sisters in church. One night, God spoke to me by Romans 12, 1-2 in my private prayer. My understanding back then was, well, this is like an invitation to be more committed to God through church ministry and my daily life. But things are not that simple as I expected. Romans 12, 1-2, or its main concept, occurred over and over and over again in different circumstances, like praise and worship, messages from pastor, and my own devotion. Well, look at this verse. You might see that I highlight some of the verse in orange. It is the mercy of God to present your bodies, and look it up. It is plural. It is never just one body, but as a living sacrifice. I want to appreciate all my family and friends that they are also the bodies within Christ who lead me up to here. I can say that no matter I was a student, I was an IT person, or now I'm here as an interim family and children pastor, they all contribute to my life. And now I'm standing here willing to be a living sacrifice which I hope to be acceptable to God. The word living is very important here. Sometimes we will think about, well, if you have breath, of course you are living. However, in this verse, it really have a big contrast to the Old Testament. Remember what kind of things will become a sacrifice in the Old Testament? Dead animals. But now, come to the New Testament, it is a living sacrifice. Human beings. Okay, that's one thing I really want to highlight. And the living sacrifice also tells us something more. It is something continuous, going on. Not just, you know, just for one time. A living sacrifice is supposed to going on and on and on. Now, let's get back to about this verse. There must be something God really wants to convey to me after I have, pray and listen to the messages. And I think it's not a coincidence that God wants to talk to me through these verses. So I prayed for further revelation from God, and God answered me and spoke to me directly with a very single but provocative question. The question is, do you love me? And I answer immediately, yes. God asked, do you love me? If you need to leave your family, your friends, your work, the lifestyles that you really enjoy, just for the sake of my name. Whoa. Wait a minute here. My heart beat very, very fast, and I felt both excited and nervous at the same time. In that particular prayer, I did not have the courage to respond to God immediately. I brought this up with my close friends and a counselor of my fellowship. I did not want to respond to God recklessly, and my friends promised to pray for me so that I could hear clearly from God. There were two incidents. One is, my parents have been following some traditional Chinese rituals like burning incense to their ancestors, asking them to protect the children, and also requesting some lucky fortunes and so forth. I don't think those are religion. Those are just only some traditional Chinese beliefs or practices. They thought going to church is not a bad idea, but they used various reasons to refuse the gospel. My church friends got me some movie tickets one night, and my brother, who were stationed in Hong Kong, he flew back to here to visit us, and I got 4 tickets to go to this movie. And this movie is based on true story and also with gospel message. Without a second thought, we brought our parents to watch this movie and we go together. My parents, on that night, walk up to the stairs in front of the stage. Do you know what's the impact on both my brother and me? We have been praying for the salvation for a long time, but at that moment, God moved their heart. And I believe this is the biggest gift God ever gave to me. And it was an unforgettable moment when we witnessed the amazing grace falling upon my families and my parents. From that moment, my heart was filled with joy and thankfulness. I could not ignore anymore the calling from God. It was not out of impulsive emotion, but it is a genuine response. Offering myself as a living sacrifice was a response to God's love. My home church was Richmond Chinese Alliance Church on Number 1 Road, and they had Awana program every Friday night. As usual, I know some of you served in Awana as well. Usually we had games, handbook time, and council time. In one of the winter nights, I was holding hands, praising God with the little children, and a flow of warmth passed from their little hands toward mine. All of a sudden, there's a voice coming up. "Why are you here?" Then I replied, "I'm here to serve as an Awana leader." That's a really straightforward answer. But then it asked again, "Why are you here?" Then I might recall something happened roughly 2 weeks ago. My car became a total loss in a car accident. If my car went a few seconds faster, or the driver of the other parties bump into the driver's side of my car, I think most likely I was either resting in a hospital or I'm resting in the heaven. It is such a horrible and near-death experience, and I only have some minor injuries. These things show me that God can take away my life anytime He liked. In the past, I always thought I have plenty of times to serve God, to love God. I have plenty of time to spread the gospel. But after this car accident, it really transformed and renewed my mind. I do not think the time is controlled in my hands. It is God who is the one who controlled my life and others' life. I realize all those thinking in the past was only my wishful thinking. Again, why am I here? Why am I praising God hand in hand with little children in Awana? That questions keep coming up on that night. Well, I believe some of you, did you come to the church as a baby here? Could you raise your hands? Since you were, you know, a very young kid? Not a lot. Okay, maybe downstairs, right? I understand that those who came to church since they were babies, they might not realize it was absolutely a privilege to know Jesus. Well, I grew up in a non-church family. No one really taught me who the Creator was. And nobody will tell me why it was a good news that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And no one ever shared with me the unconditional love of God, even though we were a sinner when I was a kid. God showed me that your life and my life could be short, could be very long, or longer than you expect. Well, I ask myself again, why am I here? What was I still waiting for? Was it not a golden opportunity for a child to know the truth and to accept Jesus as his Savior? Why didn't I share the gospel with more children? Why not to serve God wholeheartedly while I still had breath? Give thanks to our Lord. He was compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Give thanks to our Lord who had mercy upon me and my family. Give thanks to him who allows me to be his humble servant, even though how ordinary I am. It is truly my honor, as well as it is my passion, to participate in building children's life by teaching the Bibles. After responding to the calling of God, I wrote my resignation letter with joy. And then I really put aside my family, my friends, my job, and also the Greater Vancouver here, and then go back to Hong Kong to equip myself by studying theology in the Alliance Bible Seminary at Hong Kong. After responding to him, God showed me when I stepped out of my comfort zone, all I need is faith on him. Has anyone watched the movie Transformer? The latest one? Yes, thank you. Do you remember that in this movie, the head of KSI named Joshua, not the Joshua in the Bible, and he discovered there is a metal that is coldable and molecularly unstable metal that you can transform one thing into another thing. During the movie, they even show that you can use these metals to make it into a toy, and also it could become a gun, right? And this guy, Joshua, thought once he had these metals and the technology, he can control the whole world. There's a line that Joshua talked to Optimus Prime saying that, "Don't you got it? We don't need you." Do you see the pride of humans here? They thought they don't need others. They thought they are smart, they are strong, they are intelligent, they can do anything that they like. But however, when you watch over the movies, you find out things are getting out of hand. Not every robot or transformers will acting according to what you think or what you have programmed. And I see that even the person Joshua has changed a little bit, you know, along the way. Optimus Prime warned Joshua, saying that, I don't remember the exact line, but it was like that. The meaning is, you shouldn't build something that are not supposed to be created. I think that was really an important thing. Sometimes we thought we are so smart, so strong, so talented that we want to take the place of God. the place of the Creator. But however, I believe that He is the only Creator, and we shouldn't take the place, and we should really being transformed by God to be His vessels, to love each other, to spread the gospel, and to serve each other. Well, we all know that it is not easy to follow God's path. It is more easy to follow the pattern of the world. And it is so hard for us to put God first. It is easier to teach the knowledge than to teach values to our next generation. It is easier to talk about love than to act in love. I won't say a church is always a perfect place for our next generation to grow, neither do family. I won't say a church can replace the role of educational institution. But we have to admit who is the Creator in the whole universe. We have to admit that nowadays there are many choices for our kid to pick. In fact, when you go to a restaurant, the menu items are so long that some people may have a hard time to make decision on what he or she want to order. Our child, how would they make their own decisions? Maybe at the very beginning, parents or guardians can make arrangement for their own children. However, when they grow up, he or she, your children, has to make his own decision. You cannot always be there for them. So I believe I truly have a vision that I wish to share with all of you, that it is very, very important to share the gospel, make sure our children understand their faith, understand God's words when they are still young. After that, it is their own decision. We cannot make it for them. We cannot make the choice for them. Who can guarantee that our children will make a wise choice? The wise I'm talking about here is not worldly, but the wisdom from God. Who can guarantee our parents, our families, our teachers will not make any mistake? Nobody can guarantee. But thanks God, we have His words in the Bible, full of wisdom, full of love, full of all those advices that God wants us to walk in the right path and walk in His will. Jesus once said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Have we, I emphasize, we are the bodies of Christ. Have we as body of Christ learned to really act and live out our faith in front of our generations? Sometimes you don't need to be actually a teacher. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. You don't have to be an Awana leader. But our children can see and they can tell whether you are having the image of Christ in your life. And I really wish that even though church is not a perfect place, but I really encourage each one of you that we can work together to make this a better place where our children can find forgiveness, love, and also the truth. I really wish that our children will be bonded together, not by materials, not by power, not by money, of course, but by the love of Christ. This can gel them together more solidly. And my next sharing would be... Does it move? Okay. So this is the chapel in the Alliance Bible Seminary in Hong Kong. This is the main campus. And when I was studying there, they already built a city campus. What does it mean? Because this main campus is on an island. And the city campus, you don't need to travel on ferry to study. So those usually is night courses for people who are working, but they want to understand more. And I think those are really an extension of this seminary school. And in this campus, I can't remember how many prayers I have there to ask God to forgive me. I don't remember the actual number of people I met there. I don't even remember how many missionaries we have prayed for in this simple island. And furthermore, before I end this sermon, do you see this is a receipt, right? Probably you thought I photoshopped it. No, it's a real, true receipt. One of my favorite stations when I was driving in my car is Praise 106.5. And you can look it up. There is a person, real person, who win the meal with 15% discount when he prayed in the public. You know, there are many people, no matter they are, how strong their faith is. Some people told me, hey, why do I need to pray before the meal? Why do I have to say grace? I already say it in my heart. I don't need to, you know, show other people that I was praying. Well, yes or no, right? Yes, in terms of God listen to our prayers, no matter you're closing your eyes or not. However, in my own testimony and experience, after I became a Christian, I always pray, no matter I'm having lunch in the office or I dine out somewhere else with my friends, we always pray properly before we have the meals. Why I emphasize that? Because by doing that, God gave me the chance to spread the gospel. There are many, as you know, I study in the United States, many Americans came to me after I opened my eyes and then came to talk to me and ask, what are you doing there? Why are you praying? Who are you praying to? Wow, this is a golden opportunity for me to share my faith, share the gospel with them. So don't neglect small things. You thought seeing grace in a restaurant is, you know, so minor, we don't need that. Wow, I tell you, it's not true. And this one is a true story. The person is called Dan. Dan really received 15% in the restaurant by praying in the public. Wow, why do I share you with this? As I'm talking about, transformation is coming from God. When your life and my life got transformed by God, you will make a difference to the society. Maybe one day, I don't know, I'm not sure if there's any restaurant owner or chef in this church among you. You may give a discount to people who do pray, right? Or give a free meal when a new person accepts Christ in your restaurant. Wow, that may make a difference. Nowadays, as we know, expenses go up really, really high, right? The food expenses. And you will recognize some food comes in small size or the price have been going up, right? So none of the owners want to give discounts to customers. However, I really encourage you to think about it. Each one of you, no matter you are young or you're more senior, you're more mature, you can make a difference, of course, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not by our own intelligence, not by us, but by God. So thank you for giving us this time to share with you all, and I wish you all have a good, busy day.